Morning, these difficult verses that have confused many, many people that we're going to cover in Hebrews. Remember, let's just set this back up. Remember that the Jewish believers there, the temple is still standing. They've now, the Jewish believers are now in Christ Jesus. The destruction of the temple has not occurred yet. And they're struggling. They're you know, for 1,500 years, their forefathers had done nothing but practice Judaism, the law of Moses, amen? And now all of a sudden they're born again. And their high priest, now their high priest is Jesus. And there's a fear or a problem with them being drawn back, not into Judaism so much, but maybe taking a part of it and bringing it into Christianity. Who knows? We don't know exactly. But we do know this, they were not moving on with the Lord. They were at a standstill because Hebrews 5:12 explains to us that they were not progressing, they were regressing because Paul, who I believe is the author of Hebrews, said, listen, by now you should be teachers, but now you need to be back on the milk of the Word of God. You can't handle solid food. And so they weren't going on with the Lord. They were at a standstill, probably because of the horrible, horrible persecution that they were experiencing at that time. Now, remember this, that Hebrews was not written to discourage the new believers in Christ. It wasn't written to discourage the believers today, even with the five warnings that are there. The Bible tells us very clearly, the writer tells us in Hebrews 13:22, that he says, this is a letter of exhortation. It's a letter of encouragement. Don't give up. Keep running the race of faith. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep looking unto Jesus. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we left off this morning, we left off last time, I should say, with Genesis. Lord, help me. Did we? Well, maybe we did. No. In Hebrews chapter 3, just look at Hebrews 3:18. Let's just look right there. And it says here as we begin this morning, we go back from last Sunday, it says, and to whom he did swear that they would not enter his rest. Very important word, rest, a very important word this morning. Meaning their inheritance in Canaan, that first generation. But those who did not obey. So we see they could not. It was absolutely impossible. They could not enter into the land of Canaan. They could not cross the Jordan River because of their unbelief. So remember what I said last Sunday. Their unbelief was stronger than the promise of God. Think about that. That's how much they doubted God, refused to trust in Him. And so the majority, they believed the 10 spies, remember? They outvoted the divine rule of God. And they were only 100 yards from their rest. They were only 100 yards from the Jordan in front of them. All they had to do was be obedient and cross over. God had already promised them. Not only did He give them the land, He also said, I will defeat your enemies for you. All they had to do was believe. Amen? And that's all we have to do, loved one. Did they do that? No. Numbers 14:25 tells us this. That God says, okay, there you are. There's the Jordan. There's the promised land. There's the land flowing with milk and honey. And He said, you know what? Tomorrow, you turn back. Tomorrow, you turn around and you go back into the wilderness. You turn away. You did the today word you didn't want. You didn't want to trust my promises. And you now will wander in the wilderness for 40 years and you will die there. They missed the power of now. Amen? Think about that. Now, loved one, this morning, the word rest is very important. And I fear in my heart that there are many listening right now, the online congregation, maybe those that are here, some of you, you're not at rest right now. You don't have peace. Matter of fact, some of you might be, and I say this with love because this has been a hell of a week. I understand. Like I told the early service, I said, I'm teaching on the rest of God and I don't even have rest myself. That's tough, isn't it, Pastor?
Yes.
Yes. But I feel pretty good right now.
Hallelujah.
Rest is a beautiful word. Say that with me. Rest is a beautiful word. You know, the Lord cries out in Isaiah 66:1. He says, my throne, it's in heaven. And the earth, it's nothing but my footstool. But then he asks a question. He says, where is the place of my rest? This morning, we are going to go and find and understand the rest of the living God, and we're going to receive it. Amen? That's very, very important. Like, listen, some of you, I say this in love, you know, you're living off the fragrance of Christ. You, all of a sudden, maybe you come on a Sunday and you have Jesus all over you, and you're in faith and you're happy, and boy, I'm blessed. And then as the week goes along, the fragrance of Christ is gone. In other words, you're living off fumes, not the fuel. Does that make sense? And you're running so low. And if that's you this morning, this is your day. This is a today word to anyone who needs rest. Those listening live, those in this chapel, let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains, I love that, a promise remains of what? Well, of entering his rest. Let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Therefore, takes us back to verse 19 of chapter 3. The first generation, did they hear what God said? Yes. Did they understand what God said? Yes. Did they believe what God said? No, not at all. And the sin of unbelief stole their inheritance and their rest. Listen, they missed the rest of God. And so these first century Jewish believers now, to whom this is written into every generation, the writer just said this, hey, listen, a promise remains. A promise is still available of entering his rest. That word promise, that's the first used in Hebrews. Do you know the word promise occurs more often in Hebrews than any New Testament book? It occurs 14 times. Now listen, there is a living promise of God on the page before us. There's the promise of God is on the table. And you can have it. I can have it. Every believer can have it. They can have it right now, but the only way to have it is by faith. That's the only way to enter in. But it says, lest any of you should come short of it, short of God's rest. Only way to come short of God's rest is unbelief. Amen? The word rest here in Scripture means to cease one's labor or to cease one's work. It's mentioned 8 times in the book of Hebrews. Now here, we're speaking specifically of the Canaan rest, okay, for the first generation in Israel going into the land. Remember the second generation, what Joshua and Moses, what they told to the second generation. Let me read it to you in Deuteronomy 12:9. It says, as of yet you've not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. Again, speaking to the second generation who would cross the Jordan and go into the land of their inheritance. He said, oh, this is the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and you dwell in the land which God is giving you to inherit, here it comes, he gives you rest. He gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you will dwell safely in the land. Now that is a word to the Jewish believers to whom it was written. But it's, you know, you have to take the promise of God. Don't be like the first generation. Believe it and take the rest that God is going to give you. Therefore, again, verse 1, since a promise remains of entering his rest, what are we to do? It says, let us what? That's the first let us in Hebrews. It says, let us fear, lest any of you seem to come short of it. Now listen, that word has been so watered down by so many translations, it is sad. If you have an NIV Bible, I'm not beating you up if you do, but I could say something, but I'm not. If you have a New International Version, I have one at home. I read all the translations, okay? But the NIV translation, it does a terrible softening to what this verse means. Let me just tell you what the NIV said. The NIV said this, let us be careful. That word there, let us be careful, that is nowhere in the Greek language or in the original languages. The word fear there, phobeo, okay? It means this. It means to be terrified. Everybody listening? Terrified. It means for a person to have intense concern. It means to be terrified of distrusting the promises of God. Are you terrified to do that? To not trust the promises of God? That's what the writer here is telling us. Let me give you a really good translation. The New Living Translation says this way, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Listen, to have rest. If you take a nap and you wake up and you say, man, I feel much better, right? You don't? No, listen. When I take a nap and I get back up, I feel like I've rested and I feel better. When you get to be 40 years old like me, you'll understand, okay? No. And so you experience rest. You can experience the rest of God. Amen? Now, with all that being said, it says, let us fear. What are we really to fear? Well, we're to really fear the last word in chapter 3, and that is that word unbelief. But what I want you to see here is that the way you read verse 1, and it seems like, gosh, I could fail to be saved or whatnot. That's not what that's talking about. Let me give you what that really means. The word come short, what it means. It means literally this. Don't suppose, the writer says, you missed entering God's rest. You didn't. Why? Well, God says the door is still wide open to enter into his rest. Amen? We all got that? Now, for indeed the gospel was preached to us, the writer and of course the Jews at that time, as well as to them, meaning those, the first generation that came out of the land of Egypt. Now, the good news here is not speaking about the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, although you can apply it that way, but it's not speaking of that. Here, in context, is speaking about the first generation that came out of Egypt, their rest that they could have had in the land of Canaan. So listen, the first generation, they heard this good news of rest that God said, it's yours, it belongs to you. Come on in, cross the Jordan. But what happened? But the word which they heard, meaning that generation when the 10 spies came back, remember, and gave them that evil report. It says the first generation that they heard, it didn't profit them. Why? It was not being mixed or combined with faith in those who heard it. Who were those that heard it that they compared them to? It was Joshua and Caleb. Did they hear the same promise from God? Absolutely. Now listen, they not only heard the same promise from God. This means I'm getting ready to get on fire now. No, what it means, loved one, is this. It means that Joshua and Caleb, they heard the same promise that all the others heard, but only Joshua and Caleb believed. They believed the word of God. You see, listen, can you imagine only two people believing God's word? You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Hearing it and then believing it. James 1:22, it tells, let us not be hearers of the word only, but doers, deceiving your own selves. And so what happens when we hear God's word? If it does nothing, listen, if we don't mix what we hear, the word of God, with faith, it is not going to profit us. It didn't profit them. It won't profit us. Did you know that Hebrews, especially chapter 11, contains more usage about faith than any other book in the New Testament? But the first generation, it didn't do them any good. They heard the good news, but they didn't believe the good news. They missed God's rest. Now listen, no word of God, what you're hearing right now from God's scripture, no word of God, no promise of God will promise any Christian, any believer, unless they believe it. Does that make sense? There are many, many people, loved one, that hear the word of God. They hear year after year. Remember what I said a couple of weeks back? The church can be the most dangerous place in the world for a Christian. Why? Because they hear the word of God year after year after year, but they never do it. Boy, that means you're deceived. Does that make sense? You see, Jesus told us this. He said in John 8:47, he who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, he told the Jews, he said, hey, you don't hear because you're not of God. We want to be the people that hear God. Amen. James writes in James 2:18, someone will say that, hey, I have faith and I have works. Well, he says, well, then show me your faith without works. In other words, show it to me if you can, and you can't. He says, and I'll show you my faith by my works of obedience. Why did he say that? Loved one, listen, faith alone cannot be seen. Isn't that right? I mean, anybody can say, I have faith. I believe, man. Okay, well, what do you do with what you believe? See, faith cannot be seen. Faith always requires action on the part of those who say, hey, I have faith. Now listen, faith is not demonstrated, again, unless it's seen. Remember I think it's Mark 2:5, right in that area. Remember the friends of the paralyzed person who brought him to Jesus. He was on a cot. They carried him in, but they couldn't get into the house because it was packed with people. So what did they do? They went up on the roof like any normal Christian would do, and they tore the entire roof apart, and they lowered their buddy. That's the kind of buddy to have, amen? All those guys, I mean, we believe we're going to get you right in front of Jesus one way or another, tore that old roof off, lowered him down, boom, 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 and he right there, boom, in front of Jesus. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith. See, faith can be seen, but it's only seen as it's demonstrated. And that's so important. See, we can say, we can say, you know, I believe in serving the Lord. You bet, I believe it. I believe everybody should be in the kids' church serving.
Amen.
But do you? You see, if you say, oh, I have faith in that. Or you say, hey, I believe in tithing. I believe in giving. You know, I just gave to the orphan. I believe in that. But my pen ran out of ink, you know. I believe that we should love one another as Christ loved us. But do you? You see what I'm getting at? It's easy to quote Scripture, but it's another to live Scripture. See, faith has to be demonstrated, loved one. It's just vital. Now, Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. And that is a true word. Look at verse 3 now. For we, talk the writer, of course, the Jewish believers of that day, and us, for we who have believed might enter that rest. No, we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, and he's going to quote Psalm 95:11, so I swore in my wrath, they, meaning the first generation, we covered that last Sunday, the first generation shall not enter my rest. And you know the reason, the sin of unbelief. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, he's going to quote Psalm 95:11 again, they shall not enter my rest. Now, remember this now. In verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says, there is a rest that remains and you can have it. All you have to do is believe by faith. Now, what does the writer of Hebrews do now? He takes us, he takes the Jewish readers, believers of that day, he takes them all the way back now to God's work of creation. And here's what I want you to see, though. You know, the word rest, I just told you a little while ago, is 8 times in Hebrews, okay? But here, this word rest, for example, to the Jew, if you talked about the word rest, it would always refer to the Sabbath. The day of rest, the day that God made, that Saturday that they rest. Jews believed if they observed the Sabbath, that meant that they were entering into the rest of God. But that's not what the writer says here, because he quotes a Psalm 95:11, which was written hundreds of years after the law was given. Are you following me? And he's saying here, there is only one way to enter the rest of God. It's not by keeping the Sabbath. It's not by keeping any works. It's only one way. And from Genesis to Revelation, there's only one way to please God. And the word is called faith. Does that make sense? And that's what he's saying right here. But what I want you to really see, this is why this section is so hard for so many. It's hard for me too, because you got to really break every word down. The writer now does something that is so cool and so incredible to prove his point, okay? What he does is this. He's talking about creation. Now, we know on the 6 days, the first 6 days of creation, there was a, God says it was good. Remember after he did what? It says, and so was the morning and the evening, say, of the first day and of the second. You follow me? Okay, that happened throughout. In other words, that day had a specific beginning. It had a specific ending. But here, that scripture I just read to you, it says that on the seventh day, God rested. And if you read that in scripture, you'll find that there is absolutely no mention of evening at all. So what are they saying? Well, the rabbis taught this, that since the first 6 days had a beginning and an ending, a morning and an evening, but here you come, the day of God's rest, it had no ending, or because it had no evening. So what are they saying? They're saying that the rest of God from the day of creation for all time is available. Does that make sense? Forever and ever and ever and ever. It is available, loved one. Now listen, it's said there again in verse 4, it says, and that certain day. He's quoting Genesis 2, verse 22, or Genesis 2, 2, I'm sorry. Let me read it to you. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has done. Again, God's work of creation. Now, but listen, is God no longer involved in his creation? Of course he's still involved. He's the God of the universe. Amen? Yeah. Listen, Colossians 1:17, Jesus, he created all things, and by him all things what? Consist. He's still holding everything together. Now, how long did God's rest last from the day of creation? How long? Well, the day that he rested, guess what happened in the garden? You know the story. The next thing we're told, God is calling out, Adam, where art thou? Remember? Where are you at? What were they doing? They were hiding. They were hiding from God because they had sinned. You see, they had only heard one voice in the garden. They walked with God in perfect fellowship. They didn't know what the word sin meant. They didn't know what the word doubt meant. They had perfect fellowship with God. They were innocent before God. But then there was someone in the garden. He's the serpent. He's the father of all lies. He said unto Eve, indeed, has God said. Oh, you know, you eat this fruit. Listen, you eat of this tree. Listen, you know, you're not going to die. You're going to be just like God. And that's what you want to be, isn't it? Just like the Lord. He said, take and eat. The moment that he did that, something went into Eve's heart and to Adam's heart, both of them that they had never been before. For the first time in their entire existence in the garden where everything was perfect, they doubted God's word. And the moment that they doubted God's word, they lost the rest of God. The moment that you doubt God's word, you don't enter the rest of God. Does that make sense? Now, I don't know what to do, but God says, do this. Oh, no, but I don't believe that. But God says, no, I don't believe that. Well, you're not going to have my rest. And so because of that, Adam, his sin made all the world, if you will, every person ever born, restless. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. No peace at all. Can you imagine having a lifetime of no peace, no rest, no comfort? That's what God says. No, they don't have that. Now look at verse 6. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those, meaning the first generation again, and those to whom it was first preached, well, they did not enter because of their disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time. Why did he say that? He's showing that after hundreds and hundreds of years after Moses, David says something. Here it comes. He's going to say, today. There it is again from last Sunday. Remember the today word. It's urgent. That is the power of right now. In other words, you have to do something. Not only the present Jewish believers to whom it was written, but to every generation of believers. It says today, if you will what? Say it. Come on. here. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, meaning rest in the land of Canaan, then he would have not afterward have spoken of another day. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Joshua give them rest? Did the children of Israel find rest in the land of Canaan? No, they had to fight. But it was they did have rest as long as they obeyed God. Does that make sense? They never lost a victory as long as they obeyed God. Listen, you study out Joshua. If I'm not mistaken, they had 31 conquests, 31 wars they fought, 31 battles. God says, I've given you all of the land. I will defeat all of your enemies. You just have to obey me. God gave Israel, the land of Canaan, 300,000 square miles. How many miles did Joshua take in the children of Israel, the second generation? About 30,000 square miles. Is Canaan the land of rest? Yes, but it's not heaven. It's the place that we battle. But if we obey God, we win. It says in Joshua 1:13, it says, remember the word that Moses spoke to the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord is God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. But they didn't rest. They fought and fought and fought, and they didn't take all of their land. Caleb took all of it. Amen. I tell you, that guy was a trooper. Joshua, I think it's 13:1, God told Joshua, listen, there is much land that's needed to be possessed. So Canaan is a land of rest as long as you're walking with the Lord and obeying the Lord. Now watch verse 9. There remains therefore a what? A rest for the people of God. There remains right now a rest for the people of God. Now here's the deal. Remember a minute ago, I told you that the word rest is used 8 times in Hebrews, okay? And it's very easy for us, if we just read the Bible and not do word studies, to think that that word rest means the same thing in each occurrence, okay? But it doesn't. The Greek word for rest here is different from all those other words. It's unique, found only right here in the New Testament. Now, let me read it to you the way it would read in the original, okay? There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest. New word, unique word, only here. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. A Sabbath rest is the day when every day forever will be considered all Sabbath. A day of rest forever and ever and ever and ever, which speaks of the world to come. Amen? Now, it says, watch. For he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from works as God did from his. Now, quickly, entering the land of Canaan, which God commanded them to do, but did it give them rest? No. The Sabbath day for the Jews, keeping the Sabbath, did that give them the rest that God wanted to give them? No, not at all. Listen, this rest here, yes, is a future rest, without a doubt. For Israel, it'll be the kingdom age, the 1,000-year reign, when Jesus sits on the throne of David. We come back with him at the second coming, the church does. Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 11:10, and there, in that day, there'll be a root out of Jesse, meaning our Lord, who shall stand as a banner to the people, and for the Gentiles, that's us, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Praise the Lord. But verse 10 says, ceased from his works. One scholar puts it this way. God rested when he finished the work of creation, and Jesus rested when he completed the work of the new creation, which is us. Amen. Now rest, we have rest, meaning do we have to worry about being saved? No, we can't save ourselves. He had to save us. Amen. So we are secure in Christ Jesus. The work on the cross, loved one, our salvation is complete. Jesus cried from the cross. He said, it is finished. If we went back to Hebrews 1:3, it says that after he purged our sins, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God. Man, thank God for that. Sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. The majesty of God. And now he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Listen, we are certainly citizens of heaven. Amen. So are we going to cease our labor now? Do we just say, okay, hey, I'm a citizen of heaven, and I'm just going to enter that rest, and I'm not going to do anything? Is that what that means? No. When do we cease our works? And when we get home. Amen? Yeah, when we get home. Let me give you the scripture. Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead who die in Christ from now on. Yes, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. We're not in heaven. We're right here. This is Canaan land, if you will, because we are a small colony of heaven on this earth. Amen? We are the generation of revolution, 2022 to 2024, the word that God has given us. We must keep fighting the good fight of faith. We must continue looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Therefore, verse 11, let us therefore be what? Diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Again, speaking of the Exodus generation. Now, the King James Version, if you have that, which I like the King James, that's my preference, but I teach out of the New King James. The King James Version says this, let us labor therefore to enter his rest. That kind of sounds crazy, doesn't it? Okay, now wait a minute. I need to rest, but I got to work like a crazy person to get there, right? It's like a juxtaposition or whatever. So it's really a bad translation. And so the New King James Version gives a better, much better translation. Let me read it to you again. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. The word diligent doesn't advocate any human performance at all. Only one thing, only faith. So that Greek word, literally, diligent, means this, to be eager, to make haste, to make every effort. Now, how can you make every effort? Can you do that in your own strength? No, it's an impossibility. You can only do it in God's strength. Listen, God has made the provision for his rest. He's made the provision for strength and power to get you to his rest. Amen? Everything that we need is there. We need the power of God in our lives. Every new creation needs that. You say, well, what does that mean, Bill? Well, what did Jesus tell us before he ascended? His last words, Acts 1:8. He says, but when the Holy Spirit has come where? Upon you, that ye shall receive power, dunamis. You shall receive power, God's power. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus said, unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the world. Well, Bill, the upper room experience, the 120 that were up there with Jesus, the Mother Mary, and all the rest of them, that's passed away. Really? So they needed power, but you don't need power? Huh? Do you not need power to live the Christian life? You better believe you need power. That's why Jesus said, you need power. I'm going to give you power. Now listen, it didn't come in them. They were already saved. When a person comes to Christ, he is the Holy Spirit. We are now sealed with the Holy Spirit promise until the day of redemption. Amen? The word there, upon, epi, in the Greek, means to come upon you, to flood over you, to baptize you, to saturate you with the Holy Spirit. Paraclete, that's when the Holy Spirit is beside you. En in the Greek is when you're born again and he comes into you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the word upon means, that's a new word, by the way, if you look and study it all out. When he comes upon you, that's when you are empowered to be his witness, loved one. You say, well, I don't believe that. Then I encourage you to do a Bible study and read Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, because the promise of that endowment of power is for your children, it says, and every generation after, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? That power is available. What did Paul say in Philippians 4, 13? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 4, 7, Paul says, listen, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Man, we have this power. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have this power in earthen vessels. That's us. That the power should be of God and not of us. We can't do anything in our own strength. We can't please God. What did Jesus say in John 15, 5? Without me, you can do nothing. Look up that word. You know what it means? Nothing. You need Jesus. We need all of those things. Now listen carefully. Our today, Calvary Chapel, is not over. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, your today is not over. If your today's over, you're gone. Okay, today is an urgent word. Today means adventure. It means serving the Lord and the things that await us. We have to have boldness, and boldness is a quality of the Holy Spirit, not of the flesh, okay? You know, one of my favorite missionaries, Dr. Livingstone. You remember it from the London Missionary Society, how he went into Africa. If you've ever, I watched those old movies when I was a kid. Remember how Stanley and Livingstone, and Stanley goes hunting for Livingstone because he'd been gone for 13, 14 years. Nobody knew where he was. And he goes through all these horrible jungles and, oh, it's unbelievable in Africa. And then he comes up and he looks and there he is. And he goes, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. Remember that movie? Oh, never mind. That's a great movie. It's, of course, it's probably made in 1928, but have you ever read anything that he said? Can I give you just three quotes from Dr. Livingstone about living the adventure? Let me give it to you. It says, he said this, I'll go anywhere as long as it's forward. Is that what you want to do? I mean, we have to keep going forward. If we're not, we're going to be like the Jewish believers of that day. They were regressing, not progressing. He says also another quote, without Christ, not one step, but with him anywhere. Well, Jesus said he'd never leave you, never forsake you, that I'm with you, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. We just have to follow him. Listen to another one. Livingstone said, God, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any tie in my heart except the tie that binds my heart to yours. Listen to the last one. He says, God, if you have men who will only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all. We have a job to do. Loved one, let me ask you a question. You know, for rest is such a beautiful word. It's a glorious word. It's a word from heaven. It's a word from God. Where is God's rest found? It's found only where God is resting. That's the only place you can find rest is where he is resting. Where is God resting right now? He's resting in his church, amen, that he purchased with his own blood. Listen, oh, that's so important. Loved one, we're resting in the finished work of our Savior, but that doesn't mean that we stop working. What does it say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? It tells us this, that God works through what? Living sacrifices. Are you a living sacrifice? Oh, that is so, so important. You know, to cease from activity, that means to do nothing. And let me tell you something, that's not God's rest. That's not God's rest. You want me to tell you where you find God's rest? Whenever, like we stood here with Priscilla and Gilbert, and I said, we were right over there. And she was crying. I didn't know what was wrong. I walked over to her, and as God, you can even ask her, she needed to be healed. Before I got within 2 feet, I lifted my hand, not that there's anything there. I lifted my hand and I knew the power of now. God, I'm telling you, that place became holy ground and she was instantly healed. Her hands went up in the air. She said, something, what happened to me? I'm never, and I said, God just touched you. And then Gilbert, the Holy Spirit got on him. He started crying and I started crying. Where is God resting? Wherever people are being healed, wherever God is delivering and rescuing, wherever the glorious gospel of Christ Jesus is being preached, God is resting. But he's not resting in inactivity. Not from the believer, loved one. No, listen to me. We rest in a person. Amen. Where is God's rest found? Listen carefully. Hebrews is, remember the theme of Hebrews 13 times, the word better. Jesus is better than the prophets. Amen. Jesus is better than angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Joshua. He is the Joshua that leads us in. Amen. No, listen, today, this is a word for you. This is a word for us. Today, if you will hear his voice, there is a promise remaining right now, a living word from God, a promise from God. There is a promise remaining for you to enter into his rest. You say, Bill, how is that really done? Remember what Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4:20. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you've heard him and been taught by him the truth that is in him. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Amen? Now listen to me. To hear Christ is the most important voice in the universe. Do you agree with that? No, I mean, it is the most important in all of the world. What did Jesus say about hearing his voice? John 10:27 again, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I have a relationship with them. They belong to me. My sheep, they hear me. They hear the words that come out of my mouth. And he said, and they follow me. I want you to turn in your Bibles now. Everyone turn, or if you have an iPhone, whatever you use, turn. And to Matthew's gospel, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. Because here, you're going to look at what Jesus does. If you want rest, do you know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you want to know where God is resting? Jesus himself, he invites you into his rest. Look at it with me. Matthew 11:28. Look at those three words, loved one. He says, Jesus himself, this is our Lord. This is the living voice. The word of God is alive. Amen? Amen. He says, come to me. Can you believe that? Jesus says, I want you to come to me. Is that the greatest invitation ever given to man? Come to me. You think the president would say that? Hey, Bill, hey, come on over to my place. No, I wouldn't come anyway, but no, you think about it. He says, I want you to come to me. Now listen to me. He did not say, come, and I want you to do this, and you got to do that. He didn't say that. He says, simply come. He says, come to me. He didn't say, come to a pastor. He didn't say, come to an elder. He didn't say, come to Calvary Chapel. He didn't say anything about a denomination. He says, if Jesus were standing in this pulpit right now, and he said, come to me, some of you, maybe you would come, some of you wouldn't. They say, oh, Bill, that's offensive. Loved one, those are the words of Jesus Christ. That word is just alive today as it was 2,000 years ago. Amen? He says, oh, come to me. That is a today word, an urgent word. Listen, did you hear his voice? Did you hear what he just said? It's present tense, loved one. That's the power of now, right now. It means come at once, right now, not tomorrow. Rest is right now. Come to me, and how many can come to the Lord? Look at it. All, anybody, any race, any color, rich, poor, educated, it doesn't matter. He says, all who labor and are heavy laden. Are you worn out? Has sin worn you out? Are some of you wandering in the wilderness? There's no peace in the wilderness. There's no rest in the wilderness. There's only wandering. You see, you have to cross over the Jordan. Our Jordan is a spiritual Jordan. It's our 2023 is our Jordan. It's our year. Does that make sense? He says, all who labor heavy laden, and look what he says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Do you know that that is a today promise? That it's a today promise 2,000 years ago? It's a today promise right now from the Savior of the world. And he says, I will give the rest of Christ, Jesus's rest. It cannot be earned. It cannot be bought. Do you understand that? Jesus says, I have a gift. It is called rest. Come and rest. Literally, Jesus is saying, are you mentally, physically, spiritually exhausted? He says, you come to me and you believe my words. That's all you have to do. Jesus said, I will refresh you. I will refresh you right now. You said, well, Bill, how does that work? Well, look what he says. He says, you have to make a decision. Every person he calls, come to me now. But you have to make a decision because it says, take. That's a decision, a personal decision. He says, take my yoke upon you. And look what he says to do. Learn. Learn from me. So you make a decision, and the next thing happens, development starts. In other words, come to me as justification. Learn from me as sanctification. Does that make sense? In other words, where you're learning from him, and the more you learn from him, the more you walk like him and live like him and look like him. Amen? And behave like him. That's called Christ-likeness, being conformed into the image of Christ. He says, oh, listen, you need rest. You make a decision. You take my yoke right now. You learn from me. Why? Hey, I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you will what? Find. That means you're going to discover something that you can, it's going to blow you away. You will find rest for your souls. Calvary, listen to me now. We are in a specific time frame that God has given unto us, a specific word. We cannot, Calvary, we cannot be like that first generation. We cannot, man, live in the sin of unbelief. We have, Jesus says, I want you to do something. Now, here's what it is. Here's my offer. Take it. That's your decision. You have to make that decision. We cannot enter his rest unless we take, and we do it by faith. He says, take my yoke. That's not a natural yoke like you'd yoke up a bunch of animals and so forth. You know what the yoke is that you'd put on the animals? They go plow the fields. It's not a natural yoke. It is a supernatural yoke. Do you understand? Because it comes from God. These are God's words. He says this, if you will yoke yourself up with me. It's a decision you have to make by faith. You do that. And here's Bill, here's Jesus. He says, now, I'm going to go, you follow me, and now you learn from me. Learn from me now. Learn when I stop. Learn when I move to the left and why, or when I move to the right. Learn from me. What does that mean? It means to study Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, study me. Check me out. Check me out to be like me, Jesus says. Now listen, what is the yoke that Jesus tells us to take? What is it? Look at it. Look at it carefully. Look at his word. Look what he says. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you'll find rest. What is that yoke? You ready? It is the lowly heart of Jesus Christ. You take his heart. Do you understand? That's what it's all about. Jesus, take my heart. And here's what you'll find. If you'll just take my heart, who I am, if you'll take my heart, you will find rest for your soul. What does that mean? Listen, the word find is a glorious word. You should do word studies all the time. From this Greek word find in the original language, we get our English word eureka. You know, have you ever heard anybody say, eureka? You know what that means? Somebody tell me. I found it. Eureka. Man, what do we find? That was God's supernatural rest. Eureka. I really have it. I've experienced it. I'm in the rest of God right now. I know it because I have it. I found it. That's why Jesus said, you learn from me. And the only way you can do that is to take his yoke. And then you study his heart, the heart that left heaven, that became the God-man, that died upon the cross for you, paid the sin debt of the world, and ascended into heaven, who's sitting at the right hand of God right this minute. There is only one way to experience the lowly heart of Jesus Christ. Only one way. Loved one, listen to me now. And to find his rest, you have to follow him. You have to follow him to experience that. And what did Jesus say? If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's only as you follow Jesus Do you hear the heartbeat of Christ? No different than when John, at the Last Supper, he laid his head upon the breast of Jesus and heard his heart beating. That's what we need to feel, is the heartbeat of Christ. His heart, his emotions, the way he cares for other people. Oh, loved one, that is what's needed today. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in him should walk even as he walked. And wherever Jesus walked, did he bring life? Did he bring healing? Did he bring encouragement? Come on. He brought all of those things. You know, listen, we're to act and live like one person. The Bible's narrowed it down. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're love like him, forgive like him, and we do that as we grow. Now look at the last verse, Matthew 11:30. He says, for my yoke is what? My yoke, Jesus says, easy. He said, come to me. Don't be afraid of that yoke. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on, and you're going to find rest for your souls. Why? Jesus is on the other side of the yoke. He's the one carrying the burden. He's the one, the weight is all on him, not on you. You're just tagging along for the adventure. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, you can only rest where God is resting. There's no other place, loved one. Listen, the ark crossed over the Jordan. The ark represents Christ Jesus, our Lord, doesn't it? It says in Joshua 3:11, behold, God says, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Jesus has already crossed over. Listen, is there war in Canaan? Of course there is, but we can win every battle because we are resting in Christ. Now listen to me, you will never have a present day rest without Jesus. Jesus just said all you have to do, three words, come to me. That's it, just come to me. What a beautiful word rest is. Listen, maybe this morning, you're listening live, you're listening on the radio, you're here in the chapel, and you say, you know what? I'm worn out. You could even grow weary in doing good, amen? But I'm just worn out, I'm exhausted. I'm so worn out, Bill, and listen, I've been there, I understand it. I'm no condemnation on my part to you, my brother or sister. I'm so worn out now, I can't hardly pray anymore. If I have one more thing that happens to me, if I just have one more thing that collapses my family or this or that, I can't hardly even pray. I can't even open my Bible. I am so tired. My wife and I, we had an emergency right after the service this week. It doesn't matter where it was. We went to that home. And I love the people that are there. He looked and says, I can't take it. He says, where's God? Where's God? Not anymore. One more thing to happen. I can't take one more thing. I can't take it. I have no peace and no rest. Where is God? Job cried the same thing. He says, where is God who gives song in the night? Where's God when you're in so much trouble? Job says, well, I'll tell you what, when you are, he gives you a song. He gives you a song like he gave Paul and Silas there in Acts chapter 16 when they were in the stocks and they were bloody and beaten. It was midnight. And here's Paul and there's Silas and all of a sudden Paul leans over and this is my own translation. He leans over and says, Silas, let's sing. He says, you want to sing? Blood is dripping off of us. I can't see a thing. It's midnight. We're in the sewer. We're in the dungeon. And all the people there, come on, Paul. Paul says, Silas, let's sing. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Silas goes, did you hear something? And all of a sudden, an earthquake comes. and the jail doors swing open and all the prisoners are coming out. Amen. God who gives song in the night. Are you worn out? I mean, are you just, it's like, I'm tired. I have no peace. I need rest from worry. I need my fear. Fear is killing me. Jesus said this, come to me. That's what faith does. And he promised a today word, a 2,000-year-old promise, and God cannot lie. You come to me, and I will give you rest. Father, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, there are those, you're not resting. Maybe your marriage is in such turmoil, or your life, or your job, or your children. I don't know, but God knows. He says, I want to give you rest, but you have to come to me. You have to believe that I can give you rest, not tomorrow, but right now. Right now. It's a today word from God. Jesus said, come to me. Here's what you're going to do. If that's you and you say, Bill, I have to have that rest. I can't take it any, then don't, you can just stay where you are. But lift your hand and say, I need that rest, Jesus. Just lift it high and put it up and put it right back down. That's faith. Your hand means faith. I believe you, Lord. I believe that you said, come to me, that my hand is reaching to you, and he will put his hand in your hand if you give it to him right now. That's right. That's right. Many yes. God bless you all. Yes, yes, yes. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you're not born from above, you can be so right now. Right now. How? Come to Jesus. Just come to him right now. You say, well, Bill, how do I do that? Lift your hand and say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. You don't have to get out of your chair, but you have to lift your hand high to so God sees it. That way it reveals your heart. Anyone here say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I'm not going to drag you to the altar. I'm not going to visit your home. This is between you and God. Anyone quickly before I close, say, I want, yes, God bless you. That's right. Oh, he's knocking on your heart. Please come to him right now. Come to him. God bless you. That's right. I see that hand. Anyone else? Quickly now. Put your hand up. Put it right back down before I pray. Last call. Oh, I know there's one more. I know there's one. You hear today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Last call. Lift it high and put it down if that's you. Yes. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. I see that. That's right. You who lifted your hands, whether it be the ones who said, Lord, I need rest, but especially the ones who lifted their hands, I want Jesus to be my Lord. You pray this prayer with me right now. You who are listening live, you pray this prayer with me as well. Church, help me. Say, Father, today, I heard the today word. I heard the promise word. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Oh, Lord, I want rest. I want to be at peace with you. I want you to be my Savior. So right now, I confess with my mouth, oh, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and if I would believe, you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. 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 Let's stand to our feet, shall we? God is good. Amen. Amen. You that lifted up your hands and received the Lord, listen, I'm going to close out with song. And there's going to be people here at the altar. They have a booklet right here, a booklet entitled Welcome to the Family of God. It's free. Just come and get it. If you prayed that prayer, you're listening live right now or on the radio, listen carefully. All you have to do is email me at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address, which will never be shared with anyone. And that book will be mailed out to you free of charge first thing tomorrow morning. Amen. We cross the Jordan. I'm telling you, we have to believe now. Whatever is coming, and I'm not a prophet, I know nothing. But you know what? I can promise you this. You know, you think every year is good times? No. The world is not a happy place. But we are not of this world. It's time for us to walk on water. I mean walk across the Jordan. Yes, there's going to be wars. Yes, there's going to be battles. And the devil is already defeated. Let's treat him as if he is defeated, because he is. Amen? Listen. We, because we are in Christ, who is he who has overcome the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We have overcome this world because we're in the one who has overcome it for us. Every one of you, you're a supernatural person. Don't let the devil steal the peace of your home. Don't let the devil steal anything from you. You know what? If you have anxiety, give it to God. Amen? I have anxiety. What do you think I said at the back? That's the truth. Isn't that right, Mario? That's the truth. I go to a pastor's conference. All the pastors love me and they know me. Where do I go to? The Bill's at the back. Is when I have to speak, he's way back there. Tell him to come on up. Get some guards around him. He's so messed up. But when I get up here, I'm in my calling. But when I step down, I understand. Let's win. No, we've already won. Amen. If you need prayer, there'll be people at the altar after the song to pray with you. If you're a first-time visitor, they have a gift at the Welcome Center in the main lobby there. They'd love to give you. And God is just so good. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for those who came to Christ today. I love you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for all he's done. Now, let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. He's so good to me, and I love him so. Thank you, Jesus. I love him so. Yes.
I love him so. He's so good to me.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Love you dearly.